Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. And this is a great day for New Life, and we want to spend it with you.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Everybody, welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today, Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
And also Dr. John Townsend. John,
hi, guys.
Good to see you. Well, here we are.
Here we are.
At the year end, and man, this was a fast one for me. Now, I know it didn't go any faster. I know time is constant.
They get faster, Steve. Every year is faster.
I think it's because you forget more stuff. You think? Could that be it, that you forget more, and so then you look, every time you're in the present, you're looking back at the past, and you go, oh, well, I don't remember very much there, so it must have been fast.
That could be for some people. But,
yeah.
But, you know, you're 5 years old, 1 year is one-fifth of your life.
Yeah.
You're 50 years old, it's one...
50th of your life.
50th of your life.
Well, there's also 2%. The thing,
yeah.
There's also the thing about emotional presence. You know, if you're like worried about the future, as a lot of people were with everything that happened, they're thinking about tomorrow and they're not really present for the celebrations and the joys and relationships.
Yeah.
The day goes faster, I mean, the year goes faster because they really weren't there for a lot of the year.
And they wanted to go faster.
And they wanted to go faster. Yeah. But that's why the Bible says, count your days. We're, teach us to number our days, O Lord, because we should be present. We should be there for the joys and the connections and the small things. That's kind of what time should be about.
I have a friend who's done that literally, and he journals.
He numbers his days.
And he numbers his days. He's like on 20,000 now, and he does. And he journals from the Psalms and other parts of the Scripture each day, and it has day number.
Really?
Something I've seen.
That he doesn't. He doesn't work backwards though. Say and like.
No.
Here's how many I've got left.
No, we never know that.
We don't know that one.
That's right.
But we admire the journalers.
Yes.
Because it's all you've got. You know, if you don't journal, it's...
then you don't forget. Yeah, you can go back and read it.
Hey, I was reading an article yesterday. There's a new book called Passages for Caregivers. And they did the research, and they found out that the people that live the longest are actually the people that are taking care of someone else. And next in line, taking care of an animal. And this is Gail Sheehy's work. She's a great writer, wrote the original Passages. She said that Darwin actually said this, that this was Darwin's theory, that the survival of the fittest was the fittest to care for others, and that a bunch of male guys got involved and went into the fight or flight, and it's all about conflict. But she says there is the overriding evidence is that if you're a major caregiver, there are some things you can do to make it easier. But because you're not into your life, you are into someone else's life. You tend to live much longer.
That's so encouraging because for the last 3 weeks, I've been a caregiver. My wife had her knee replaced, you know, and so she can't do much of anything.
You just added years.
And I've added years to my life. Yeah. That feels good in all of my exhaustion.
I know what else, though, is once again, Darwin gets credit for something God did a long time ago.
Yeah, that's right.
It was God's system, and
so it's not good that man be alone.
Yeah, I mean, this is all in the Bible.
That research on animals, too, that's been around for quite a while, that people who have an animal live longer than people who live alone. Yeah.
Well, we try not to act like animals around here, and we want to give you some help today, and we'll do the best that we can. This is New Life Live. We're a not-for-profit 501c3 ministry. And if you're thinking about a year-end gift, well, of course, the earlier, the better. We'd love to receive it, and we'll spend it well. And then Dave has a special program he does every year.
We're a 13th monther.
A 13th monther.
And that means we put 13 gifts. Instead of doing the one a month for 12 months, we do a double one in December. And we've already done that. John and I have done that. And I think
Dave recruited me to his program.
So he's a 13th month.
If at all possible, and you're part of Club New Life, please become a 13er and give an extra month's gift here at year end. It will make a huge difference. And then many of you,
and to do that, they just call in.
Yeah, 1-800-NEW-LIFE,
and tell them to do that.
Yeah, we'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And right now I want to go to the phones. I want to talk with Robin from Ojai, California, listening on KDAR. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. Really nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous.
I love your show.
Thank you.
I try to listen every day, and I buy all your books.
Well, thank you.
You've been a great help so far, but I'm just struggling right now because my stepdaughter just moved in with us. She's about to have a baby.
Mm.
And
how old is she?
She's 24.
24.
And I'm an ex-smoker, and she's smoking.
In her pregnancy, she's smoking?
Yeah.
Ouch.
And it just breaks my heart, and, you know, I just don't know how to help her,
mm-hmm.
and I think I have control issues because I just want to say stop it, and I don't know what to do.
Robin, what have you said?
I've told her, you know, that God helped me to quit, and, you know, I want her to help. To ask God.
Did you tell her about the baby, the damage to the baby?
Yeah, I told her I took a child growth and development class last semester and learned all this stuff, but, you know, how bad it is.
What's her response when you gave her the facts?
She knows.
Right, Bob, what's her response, though? Like, what does she say back to you when you show her the facts?
Well, she says, you know, she used to smoke a lot more, and she's only smoking between 1 and 5 cigarettes a day now, so it's not that much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could be a whole show for you guys because I have a bunch of questions, but the other part is her grandma wants to come and stay with us too, and she's a smoker, and my mother wants to come and stay, and she's a smoker, and I'm just like, I don't...
You know what's funny, Robin, is that Dave and Steve and I want to stay with you too, so
yeah.
We don't... You know.
But we don't smoke.
Did you see the new study that this year 600,000 people will die from secondhand smoke?
Mm.
And did you know that most of those are children?
Mm-hmm.
Will die because of secondhand smoke. Not smoking, but secondhand smoke. I got to tell you, I know, I understand the addiction. I was a smoker earlier in life.
Right.
But at some point, you just have to stop and say that there are better things, better ways to spend the money.
Robin, why the deep emotion that you are manifesting to us?
I don't know. I think it's probably associated with my mother, you know, because my mom has always smoked, and it's always, like, hurt me that she wouldn't stop, you know, it for me. She wouldn't stop for herself, and every time she's tried to stop, you know, she just starts back up again, and I just, you know, I don't know. I guess I have control issues.
No.
Don't...
I'm not sure that you have control issues. You know, what I'm thinking is, why don't you just let them all come and you move somewhere else?
Yeah.
Well,
you know what I was thinking,
you know,
is that your mother,
well, Dave's tongue is in his cheek.
Yeah,
come on.
Your mother actually may be the link to everybody quitting. She's expressed a desire to quit. She's tried to quit. So what she's proven is that the ways that she's tried aren't enough for her. I'm wondering if she's tried medication.
I think she has, and that's
what do they call Wellbutrin in the form that reduces the craving?
CR.
Yeah, what's that? Zyban. I think that's the name. Thank you, Terry, another ex-smoker. No, but really, there are so many things that are available to help. Maybe it's you sitting down with your mom and saying, "Mom, I think you could really influence your granddaughter."
Well, my mom is, she's in Missouri. My daughter's.
Well, who's coming to stay with you then?
Well,
her mother.
Her mom, who's in Florida, and her grandma, who are in Florida, and my mom, who's in Missouri, they all want to come out here and stay when, because the babies do in 2 days.
Well, anyway, I don't know who's going to be there smoking, but just try to go to somebody that's older than she is and try to get them to lead the way. Because the baby, you know, is only being poisoned 1 to 5 times a day. That's horrible.
Right. I know.
Robin, let me give you sort of a path. One is you really have to deal with your emotions about this, because what the reaction that you felt from your mom's neglect gets in. If I were your daughter, your stepdaughter, I would feel kind of like you're fragile,
right?
And that you can't speak into my life with any authority. So I want you to kind of put the adult face on, your game face on, when you deal with your stepdaughter and not the part that's been wounded by your mom.
Right.
Okay, so get that part healed somewhere else, but you've got to be a grown-up with your stepdaughter.
Right.
Number two, I like what Steve and the guys are saying. I mean, it makes sense. But what I think I would do is I would just say, are you willing, Cynthia, to go with me to different places and go to seminars and go to a doctor, and you kind of be the team person? Like, I'll take you to these places. We'll look at the options, but I really want you to get down to zero. I wouldn't make it a requirement, because the baby would be in jeopardy if you kicked her out, but I would just say, let's make a team out of it, and I'll help you. And then you kind of recruit her to that.
Well, and then with the grandmother and the mother, I'd say, you know, you're welcome to come, but there's no smoking in the house.
You guys can get a hotel if you want to smoke, or you come and stay with us. No smoking.
Surely they don't want to smoke in the house, do they?
No, but, well, we already said that they would have to stay in a hotel, but the problem is her grandmother is not got a lot of money.
And okay. Well, that's not your problem. And if anybody stays in your house, they not only need to smoke outside, but they need to be aware that if you can smell it on their clothes, those are molecules. You smell molecules. They get in your nose, and that's a part of secondhand smoke. So, I don't know. I think John's given you a path. I hope you can take it.
And I like what Steve said there. You know, that's not your problem. That's not a mean thing to say, Robin. You know, the Bible says that God's boundaries are pleasant ones in Psalms. And so you can only control what you can control.
Right.
So you say, here's our budget. Here's what we can do. We welcome you. Thanks for having with the baby. But here's our rules. Here's our house rules. And you can't take responsibility for grandmother's financial issues.
If she can't afford to come and stay in a hotel, then that doesn't mean you have to let her stay.
Somebody
there.
Else helps her out.
So
we're not trying to be mean.
You
like
got
you
2 days here, and the one that needs to be helped is the baby, and keep doing a good job.
All of our resources, including the Life Recovery Bible, which Dave and I edited 20 years ago, and about 1.5 million. Is it 1.5 million?
Well, it's more than that. It's closing in on 2 million.
Well,
you guys
really changed the whole landscape of how to look at the Bible with that book. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of how much you did when you did that book.
If you said, Steve, you could only do one publishing thing in your life, I would say, okay, I'll pick that one.
It was a life-changing process for me.
Yeah.
But you can get a copy at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, along with all the resources, John, Henry, Dr. Jill, Dave. They're all right there. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. You can also find out about Every Man's Battle. If you're struggling with sexual integrity, you know, some people actually will be viewing pornography and listening to this show at the same time. That's how hooked and stuck. I know you want your life to be different. So call us and help us. And
what an example of being double-minded.
Oh,
the
totally.
The light and the dark parts
totally,
fighting each other inside
right.
you.
And they're
right.
totally unaware of the incongruity of all that.
Huh. Yeah. And, you know, so many of the people that call us about sexual integrity are women. And you make a bold move, demand that I was just talking to somebody the other day about, said, you have to go. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to this man. He went, I think he was about 72 years old when he went.
Wow.
And she wanted him to finish his life with sexual integrity. And now he's going to do that. So you just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, we've mentioned it before. If you're a Club New Life member, please think about giving a membership to Club New Life to someone you care about, and make that monthly commitment for them, and let them experience the blessings of the resources and the CDs and all the things, the benefits that you get from Club New Life. I want to talk right now with Ann. Ann is calling us from Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hello, Ann. Welcome to New Life.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm kind of confused, but I need your help.
Okay. All right. What are you confused about?
Well, I am dating a Christian man, and he...
That's often very confusing.
No, wait. What he treats me wonderful. He's affectionate. He's loving, and he treats me very well.
Uh-huh.
But he's told me that he has a great capacity for love.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that he separates emotional, physical, and sexual. Apparently more than I do. Apparently I connect them all three.
Maybe more than God does.
Deeply.
Yeah. But he, this genius, is able to separate those out.
Right.
And so he
still has strong relationships with his exes, emotional relationships.
Yeah.
And he's
right.
Basically told me that once you're in his life, you're always in his life as long as you choose to. And he's told me he's not dating anyone else. I'm the only one right now. And because of the way I've told him I'm monogamous, he would respect me and tell me if anything changed before he was to do anything. But he says that he believes that he can have a relationship, even sexual relationships, with more than one woman.
Have you told him?
He feels that he's wired that way.
Yeah. Have you told him about the turnip truck?
No. Well, that's the thing that's throwing me off. Everything else, you know, I've had counseling and everything.
I think you need to tell him, hey, I didn't just fall off of a turnip truck. What you're saying is what maybe you're wired to do. But guess what? Human beings, from the very beginning, have to overcome their wiring.
Well, that's what I said. I said, you know, homosexuals try to tell me it's not their choice, that their God made them that way, but it's not true, you know. And
but why would you even consider that it might be true and you're still with him?
Because he's treated me better than anyone I've ever had in my
life. I don't think so. I think he's treated you horribly.
Well, he's treated you on one level very nicely, but on another level, he has trashed you because he shows no respect for the reality of what love is all about.
He's saying, do you hear some flowers? And by the way, you're not all that special.
But I'm good. By the way, I gave flowers to four other women, too.
You're not that special.
Well,
here's some flowers. And I'm going to maintain these other relationships.
And
Can you take up for this guy, John?
Hold on.
Yes.
I'm going to get off the guy for a second because we three are sitting here just chomping at the bit to go after him, but I'm going to go after you.
Okay.
All righty?
Uh-huh.
But we love you.
We love you, but I want to help you, and we think the guy's nuts, but I want you to think about yourself as a little girl for a second.
Yeah.
All right? 5, 6, 7. And suppose you had a dad that said, I'm going to, you know, take you out for ice cream, but I'm not going to be nice to your mom. In fact, and when I'm mad, I'm going to hurt you, and I'm going to abandon you, but I'll take you out for ice cream. Now, what would you think of a man like that? He's so nice to me. Is that where you
would
go?
Well, I did have a dad like that, and he did abandon us.
There you go.
And that's the thing. Mm. I've told him. I said, he says, well, no, you can, I'll be in your life.
Did you miss that, Ann? You're kind of running over this. I want you to think deeply about what we just said. I want you to make a, this is called the aha moment, and I want you to have an aha moment, or you'll be scrambling with this guy until you're 57.
Okay.
All right? Put the dots together. You're allowing someone who has nothing of character to offer you an ice cream cone because it feels nice because you're so lonely. You have father issues.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
You will not solve this issue or this injury by dumping this guy, which we kind of think you should, but that won't solve it. There'll still be an Ann who's vulnerable to the next guy who says, here's some flowers. We want you to look at the Bible passage that says that God is a father to the fatherless in Psalm 68. We want you to get help. We're going to leave you names. You've got to get a counselor to help you get God's reparenting in you, regardless of where you go with this guy, or you will always be at risk with men like this.
All right. I hope that's an aha moment for you. You know, so often we play these scenarios over in our mind from childhood that we become so used to playing the scenarios over that when we find a real live adult version of it, just fall right into it. It feels comfortable. And at some point we have to say, no more. and we have to work on our willingness muscle. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to change this pattern. And here's a wonderful young woman who deserves something better than be one of 10 fine, lovely women. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and it is the year end, and we know that year end giving is something that many, maybe even most people do. And if you're considering that, I hope that you'll consider New Life and what we're doing, trying to transform lives and really renew families and restore relationships with God and others. It is a transforming ministry. You can find out how to give at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go back to the phones, and I would like to talk with Richard. He's calling from Huntsville, Alabama, listens online. Hello, Richard. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? You're on with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. John Townsend.
Thank you. Well, I've talked to you all a while back, actually, and I'm just struggling with divorce. She's been gone 2 years, and it's final. And I still, people tell me to go on medication, and I'm like, I want to learn what God's trying to teach me here. And I struggle with doing that at all. I've struggled with it for several years as far as doing it, and I just, I want to learn what God's trying to teach me here, but I stay angry at him, so I'm not sure how y'all stand on stuff like that.
You stay angry at God?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I struggle with him, and I let him know, too. I mean, I don't hold back with him.
He can handle it. It doesn't hurt his self-esteem.
Some of the greatest Christians I've ever read or read about were angry at God a lot.
Well, David, go through the Psalms, and David is very open about his frustration and anger with God.
So you're stuck. You're not wanting to take medication, but you can't get out of this obsession with God, the anger at him, the grief over the divorce.
Yes, exactly.
Have you talked to anybody about this?
Yes, I've talked to people. I went to treatment for 3 weeks in Seattle. I mean, I've done.
You mean inpatient or outpatient?
I went to inpatient for 3 weeks up in
Washington. For what diagnosis?
For depression.
How did that go?
Well, it went wonderful. I had the best time of my life I've ever had, but I came back to reality, and it's all still here.
That's not the way it should work.
Well, but wait a minute. Why was it the best time you had? I think when we had our program, it was incredible how the people connected with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
exactly. That's why.
You felt connected, and then you go home, and you feel all alone.
Yeah.
So did life kind of drop off the cliff?
When I got back?
Like Dave's saying, did the deep, good contacts go away?
Yeah, I mean, they're so far away.
Okay.
I mean, the people I met and the wonderful people that worked there and the wonderful patients, everybody was
okay. Well, this is one of those cases where you've tried a lot of things and some very serious treatments. What is your resistance to medication?
Well, I've tried a couple, and I feel like I'm at half speed on them. Like my mind works at half speed, my body, and I just.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Richard, I'm not sure that medication is the answer anyway, because this is a very situational thing. I mean, if depression had been kind of a lifelong issue, they would have found that out, or you would have found that out in the program in Seattle.
Or maybe it's a both and.
It could be a both and with
medication and talk therapy.
Then medication might help, but you've got to look at what happened to you there in Seattle. The key was you were connected to people, and you've got to get yourself connected to people where you live, on not just the problem, not just the struggle, but just in general, to have some guys in your life that care about you, that check up on you, that you're honest with, and that you meet with on a regular basis. That was the key to the program, I'm sure, is you had stuff going on, group and stuff going on every day where you had to connect, and then you go home and you don't have to connect, but you do.
Your automobile is your solution. that you get in your automobile and you go drive to a meeting, you go drive to a counselor, and you talk to people, and you get out of your isolation.
Okay.
I mean, really, that's the greatest hope for you.
Yeah.
Is doing some stuff that's uncomfortable, because if you think back of that great 3 weeks, that first day was pretty uncomfortable, but then you made the connections and it became a wonderful time.
Yeah, Richard, the Bible teaches us that when we've had great loss, that we all get angry for a while, like Steve and Dave said, David did. But anger is never the final answer. It's the beginning. The final answer is grief and acceptance. And what you say is, I don't like the meds, I'm lonely, I'm isolated, and I'm angry. Those are all the signs of someone who was stuck in the early stages and you haven't had the grief process yet. And I want to give you a Bible passage to then, like Steve said, get in your car and go do. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul says that we need to comfort with the comfort with which we were comforted. Those people in the treatment program comforted you, and they listened to you, and you felt connected, and you probably started the grief process. You've got to let go of this ex, and the comfort will help you do that. But you won't be able to move to grieve and get it over with until you receive the comfort. We want you to get connected. That's where the hope is.
All right. I don't know if I sent you Healing is a Choice when you called before. Did I send that to you?
Yes, I've got it. Yes.
All right.
I went and bought it, actually.
Okay.
Regret-free living.
Regret-free living. Let me send that out to you. I hope that will be of help to you. I'm glad you called us back. So many people are struggling, and they need to get out of the house. You need to force yourself to do something that really is a miserable thought, and that is to get with some other people, maybe struggling the same way you are. They could be an encouragement to you. So I'm hoping and praying that call might motivate you to get in the car and do something different. We'll take a break and we'll come back for the second half of New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterman here. We were just talking about pain-killing medication when you have a surgery, and there has to be some parallel. But the lesson that the doctors teach you, hopefully, is that pain medication doesn't stop pain as well as it prevents pain.
It doesn't reverse the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jan has learned that.
So you stay ahead of it.
She just learned that a couple of days ago, because she was trying not to take the pain meds. And then she'd take it once the pain was kind of overwhelming.
Right.
And she was reading her stuff again and says, no, take it before that, because you can't back it down as easily as you can prevent it.
So right before I fall down the stairs,
take my pain medication.
I like this. This helps.
So, I mean, in therapy, you know, it'd be really great if you could prevent the need by staying connected versus... Well,
you know, there's a study on marital therapy that says that people wait 6 years from the time a problem first appears before they seek help for it.
And that would be the same principle. You know, if they had sought help for it 6 years earlier, it would have been a lot easier to deal with.
Well, it takes 6 years to kind of figure out the other person's not going to change.
That's right.
You're so hopeful, you know.
Or they're not going to admit it's their fault, yeah.
Well, I never saw it this way, but I'm actually in year five of my problem. So next year, I'm gonna do
then
something.
Then you'll finally identify.
No, that's when Misty finally goes, okay, Steve, I've been waiting.
Yeah, she knows it. Let's go to Christina from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi, Christina.
Hi. My question is, I've been separated from my husband for a year, and I can see that it's not going to get any better. So,
Why are you separated? Why are you separated?
I left because he started using drugs. He had a drug problem, but he was supposed to like become a Christian. And then what happened was after we got married, he went back to drugs, and he basically blamed me for it. You know, that I'm the reason he's back on drugs. And he got very he got abusive, like, not physically. And he started working toward that. But basically, emotionally, like, I just couldn't do anything right. I was a horrible mother and da-da-da-da-da. And, he wouldn't work. He wouldn't hold a job down. So I was like, you know what? I'm not in this for this. This is awful.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't want to help. No, you know, believe me, I'm a Christian.
Okay,
You'd
be willing to what?
I was just going to say, I'd be willing, if he'd be willing to go get help.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want it. He, I'm the problem.
Okay, so what's the question?
The question is that, like, he wants me to pay for the divorce, but I really can't afford to pay for the divorce. Is there somewhere where I can go where I can get help or something like that, like paying for divorce, you know, because, like, we've been separated a year, and since it's not going to work out, I don't see any reason to carry on.
Well, have you done anything reparative on your side of the street? Have you done anything helpful for you in dealing with all of this?
I am in counseling, yes.
Okay. Have you ever thought about an Al-Anon meeting or two?
I've been to a few because I've had some friends who, like, drink and stuff, but,
yeah.
For me, I just don't see any reason why. I mean, you know, but basically, I've left the situation. And if he wanted help, that's one thing. But, you know, to blame people and to sit there and say, you're the reason.
Right. Well, that's what addicts do.
That's the thing.
Yeah, that's what addicts do.
That's where I feel like I'm at.
What do you think she ought to do?
Well, Christina, there's ways to do that at a very reasonable price, and I don't know what they do in Texas, but there's groups that, you know, there's paralegals that will do it for you, and there's other groups like We the People and organizations or companies or that do that on a very low budget. So as long as it's not contested. But what Steve is saying, you know, just make sure that you've gotten all the help you can get to understand that this is really a hopeless situation.
Yeah, and Christina,
well, I feel betrayed and lied to by a number one.
Definitely,
he had a drug problem from me.
Well, Christina,
and number two,
the other
Christian.
Yeah, Christina, the other piece of this, Christina, is in serious situations like that, you really don't pull the curtain down until you've had a meeting with someone. And both of you in the same room who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I would not even start that route, you know, that you're considering until you say, whatever you do with me, Sam, or us, whatever happens, I need a meeting with an experienced counselor who understands people like me and people like you. And don't go into the you're the addict, I'm the good guy. Stay out of that. But just people like me and people like you for whatever, because I want to be the healthiest person possible. And I have seen, and everybody in the studio has seen, Christina, miracles happen when the right person sits in and understands his part and confronts in the right way and understands your part and confronts the right way. Do not put the curtain down until you've gotten with somebody of that kind of wisdom and experience. And we'll leave you some names.
Yeah. And, you know, you said that he hid this from you, but there is a part of you that refused to see some of the evidence that this wasn't a great human being to marry. And so you've got to resolve those things, just like a previous caller. Otherwise, you just repeat the past. But on your journey to healing, sometimes you discover some things that you can do that actually will initiate the person wanting to get help. But I really believe, John's right, get the two of you in a room together with somebody that knows
what's happening. And don't just kind of dabble in Al-Anon. Really find a group that's, that's doing well and, work the program.
Work the steps, all right.
Guys, I'm so glad we're bringing this up. You know, we're all in the counseling world, and so many times you'll hear people say, well, I was in counseling. And you'll find out what happened in counseling was they blamed for about 3 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, about how bad somebody else was. And they never said, why'd you pick them, like you said, Steve, or what were your own issues or what were your contributions? If you're not, getting those messages in counseling, you're not in counseling.
Well, and then you might be so fragile that the counselor spends 3 months listening to you blame, and then one day they say, well, what do you think your part was in it? And then you leave going, man, I tell you, I'm done with that.
I'm done with that.
You know, I don't like
that. That counselor was just like my family.
Yeah. So. You know what's interesting is
confrontations.
I'll see a wife and I think, what a jerk she's married to. And then the next week I see the husband and I think, boy, I got him wrong. What a jerk she was.
You know? I know.
So
it
easy
is like,
to get sucked into that.
It's like a math principle. Exactly.
But you've got to understand that all behavior is cyclical. There's no linear cause effect. It's a spiral kind of thing. And there's a cycle that's going that Christina's feeding into as much as he's feeding into it. And to change it, you got to break that cycle, and blaming doesn't do that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Vic from Portland, Oregon. Listens online there. Hey, Vic, how are you today?
How you doing? Here's my issue. Just frustrated because I can't seem to meet the right woman.
Can't meet the right woman. Where
I've read your books. I've read about six of your books, How to Find a Date Worth Keeping.
Have you done the books as well as read them, or have you just read them?
No, I haven't done them.
Have you really done them, Vic?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what have you done? Show us the due diligence.
Well, I know in that particular book, speak to at least five women a week with whom you could ask them out.
You did that part?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I meet people. I'll tell you what I think the issue is, ultimately.
What do you think it is?
It always helps a radio talk show host when the other person says the issue, because then we can just kind of slide.
Yeah. What do you think the issue is?
It's three or four things. Okay. One, frankly, I'm a bit of an oddball or a little bit of a character, not the average person. Second is, you know, I think I've got not unreasonable standards, but perhaps unreasonable standards by today's society. You know, norm.
Okay. And what's the third one?
The third one is perhaps I live in an area where people aren't as friendly as they are in other parts of the country.
Oh, Portland's a very friendly town. I love Portland. Come on.
Yeah, but you don't live there.
Well, let's talk about
great people up there.
Let's talk about the oddball.
And fourth, I guess, is just my age.
How old are you?
I'm in my 40s.
Oh, come on now. You're just a spring chicken.
Spring chicken.
Let's talk about the oddballness, though. What is oddbally about you?
Well, I, you know, tend to, the mentor had said, I have a strong sense of self, and so I'm not, you know, necessarily conforming on every particular issue. But
well, I mean, do you live in a shack with aluminum foil on your head talking to Martians?
No.
Do you have anything in common with the Unabomber? That's oddball.
That's what we're talking about, oddball, Vic. I mean,
No.
You're just slightly eccentric.
Look, we're out on a date with you. We're the gal, and we're on a date. Tell us one oddball thing you're doing at dinner.
Yeah.
That we kind of get freaked out about.
While we're waiting in line, I might talk to people who are in line with us.
What's odd about that?
I don't think that's odd.
No, that's just kind of... Yeah.
That's friendly. But
you,
anyway.
You just... You're from, what kind of women have you met?
Again, it goes back to my one point about... The third point about maybe it's the area which I live.
No.
All right, now, do you bathe?
Yes.
All right, so you got that out of the way.
Use
deodorant. When we come back from the break...
No aluminum foil in the head. He bathes. Vic, you're a great guy. Right. We're going to get you somebody.
I want to go down a road with you here, Vic, when we come back, and hopefully it'll open the door for some new relationships there. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. Dave Stoop, he's the author of Forgiving the Unforgivable. Dr. John Townsend, he's the author of Boundaries in Dating, Boundaries in Marriage. Just a wonderful array of the Boundaries books that are available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us or go to newlife.com. We'll be back after this.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here talking with, well, we're talking with Vic about a problem of dating. Vic, you remember in the Bible where in the Sea of Galilee, all the guys were, they were fishing on one side of the boat.
Uh-huh.
There just weren't any fish. And Jesus said, if you'll just cast that net over there on the other side. And mm-hmm. then they couldn't, I mean, it was
sure.
overwhelming. Well, we've got to get your net cast on the other side of the boat. And obviously, for Vic, Portland isn't enough. So you've got to find two or three dating websites to go on, and you've got to see it as at least an hour a day part-time job if you really want
that.
This.
And if I may, number one, certain sites I found to be more helpful than others.
Yes.
And I know many friends who, from a particular site, have gotten married.
Well, what's the most helpful site you've been on, Vic? Just curious.
What's that?
What's the most helpful site that you've been on?
I don't want to give a commercial announcement. Christian Cafe.
Okay.
I think
a lot of people. A lot of people go to
married.
Yeah, a lot of people go to Christian Cafe. But here's the thing: if you get off of those things and stop working them, then you might have gotten off the day before that person was going to show.
I think there are two big issues for me personally. You know, when I said I'm an oddball or whatever. For instance, I don't drink alcohol, and even in a Christian community. That's kind of oddball behavior.
No. Vic, you are going down the wrong road, buddy.
All kinds of excuses.
Let's look at number two, Vic, because I was taking notes as you were talking.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the 30-second summary of what you consider might be unrealistic standards, because I think that's what I think that's the big problem.
First of all, age. Finding a woman perhaps early 30s who's not been married, who doesn't have children, who's a virgin, who's educated, who's somewhat emotionally...
Well, I think we hit it.
We just hit pay dirt, buddy. What's the next one?
That's it.
Yeah.
That I'm attracted to. That I'm physically attracted to. They say that 70% of Americans
I would question
21...
There's nothing wrong on a blue... There's
obese.
Nothing wrong, Vic, with having, you know, kind of what we call blue sky expectations. Everybody wants perfect... But I would want to drill down with you, if I were your dating coach, onto why they need to be never married before. I understand the kids part. Sure, I mean, some people want kids, some people don't. But to have no mistakes in their life and no losses and that sort of thing.
Kind of shrinks the population.
You're eliminating some extremely wise people.
Yeah, tell us why that's so important to you.
Couple reasons right off the top. Number one, just as a practical matter, it's a practical matter. It seems like a lot of people are getting divorced.
Right.
And as somebody who works kind of in that area, I've seen the real effects of what divorce brings to people. It hurts people. It hurts children.
Do you think people can be healed? Vic, do you think that God can heal and redeem people who learn lessons and become a wiser, more loving, more attractive person as a result? Or do you think they're damaged forever?
My personal experience is I've dated a number of women who have been from divorced families, and I think it takes it deeply, deeply wounds.
Well, Vic, I really disagree with that. I really disagree with that. I've just seen people who got in the program. I understand you don't want somebody who's still rebounding or hasn't dealt with damage because you want to have a good life. But I've seen God in the process of growth deeply transform people into people they never would have been otherwise. And I really want you to, as Steve would say, increase the net here.
And you know, we see people all the time idealizing the person. And then when they marry, you know, you could get somebody to fill all that in, and now you think you've got the ideal person. You get married to them, and you discover those things don't create a healthy, whole human being.
You know,
they're good things, but
you know, Vic, the statistics for second marriages are not very good. you know, it's like 80% don't make it. But the 20%, there's something that I've discovered in working with people that sometimes in that second marriage, it's far better than anything that they've ever experienced before, better than the first one, because they did the work between to understand how they were damaged, how they were hurt, and how God heals them. And they sometimes they'll tell me, you know, if I had put this much work into the first marriage, it would have been really good too, but they know how to do it now. They didn't know how to do it before.
Yeah.
So you're eliminating some people, and that could be a wonderful relationship.
Yeah, I think I would change my criteria, Vic, to maybe like get Henry's book, Changes That Heal, and look at how they bond. Look at, do they have good boundaries? Can they deal with imperfection? Do they know their mission in life and where they're going? I think I would look for the character aspects as opposed to the history aspects.
Today. Mm-hmm. What is this person today?
I think you'll get a better fruit from your labors.
Yeah. What John is saying, Vic, is you're looking at the surface, and the surface doesn't hold much weight later on. It's the character things, the deeper things that are going to carry you
through. How many times do you hire somebody that has an amazing resume, and they're an absolute disaster?
Yeah, right.
So don't be looking at the resume only. All right, we're just about out of time. I want to remind you a few things. You can follow us on Facebook and or Twitter. We'd love for you to do that. And if you want to make a comment about today's show, it's newlife.com. Now, in this world that we're in, what is going to happen in the next 31 days, it really determines everything. Mm-hmm. We really depend on year-end giving. And the sooner that that gift comes in, the better. If you're a member of Club New Life, I'd like you to consider making a gift of a membership to Club New Life to someone else who might need or enjoy the resources that you get, the CDs and the books and all the other things that you get as a member of Club New Life. Consider that. And then, Dave, you were talking, as you do every year, about your plan.
Yeah, we do the 13th month, and it's like at the end of the year, we give an extra month. And, you know, I do mine on a debit card, and I just tell Larry, you know, do an extra month
this month.
And
yeah.
I think that over the last couple of years, a lot of people have done
Dave,
who are members of Club New Life.
All right, I'm going the Dave plan, too. I'm in.
Okay, 13, just the 13th month, and you do that in December, and it makes a huge difference in terms of what goes on here.
I've been in the 13-month program. And let me just say this. All of us support this ministry. Everybody that you hear on the radio program, we support it in a big way because we believe in what's happening. We love to see people transform their lives. We love to get to talk about things that maybe you don't talk about in church. So if you want to be part of that, would you support us? And a one-time gift here at year end makes all the difference in the world for this ministry and the people that we try to reach. So please consider and pray about, is this the kind of ministry that God would have me honor with my generous gift? And I just pray that you will be honored for your generous heart. It is in giving, it is in reaching out to other people that, of course, we find the value of life, the new life. And that's what we're trying to introduce people to. So please call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com if you could support us here. And then we have New Life Weekends coming up, a marriage seminar that Mylon and Kay are going to be doing it. It's going to be a wonderful thing. You can find out about all of this and sign up for that at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Dr. Stoop, thank you for being with us today. Always enjoyed being with you. And Dr. John Townsend, thank you very, very much for being here.
Sure.
And all of you who join us each day, we consider it a great privilege just to be in your life. And thank you for letting us in for whatever amount of time that you do. Tell a friend about what we do and check us out. If you're listening on radio, check us out on television. Most or many cable systems carry us on one network or another. But until next time, have a great day and just choose to do that next right thing.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.